If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 is going to be our text. This is part two of our greatest joy is that our children would walk in truth, that there's no greater joy that we should long for and desire of the Lord than our children to walk in truth. So this is part two of that, and one of the ways we can answer that or think through our children walking in truth and how do we go about leading our children to walk in truth, I think this text helps answer what it means and how it looks to lead our children in walking in truth. And it's this great truth of we must bring our children to Jesus. The reality is regarding children, we are either bringing them to Christ or we are hindering them from coming to Christ. There's really no middle ground when you think of it. When you think of how impressionable kids are, Charles Spurgeon used to say that they are like warm wax that will take on the impression and seal of whatever is placed upon them. So if children are like warm wax and very impressionable, we must be giving the right impression. We must be pressing a seal of godliness and Christ-centeredness. We are either bringing them to Christ by what we say and do, or we are hindering them from coming to Christ by what we say or do, or by what we don't say or don't do. We have a very interesting scenario that takes place in Mark chapter 10. There are people that want to bring their children to Jesus. The disciples aren't really feeling it. Jesus sets them straight, and then Jesus shows his heart with regards to the kingdom and who belongs to it. Let's pray together and ask God's blessing on our time together in the Word. Father, would you grant this a sacred, holy moment? Would you fill me afresh as your servant with the life flow and power and truth of the Holy Spirit? That I would be a faithful servant, filled by you and poured out for your glory today. That before your people I would preach and proclaim Christ, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom in order to present everyone fully mature in Christ. And for this I labor and toil with all of your energy that powerfully works within me, so that at the conclusion of the service today, we could say that more and more people have been presented toward maturity in Christ. Would you open hearts and minds this morning, particularly of parents? Cause us to see the beauty and the weight before us with regards to bringing our children to Christ and the severe danger of hindering them from coming to you. Would you pierce us through the living and abiding Word? Would you convict us where we are wrong? Would you correct us where we have gone astray? Would you strengthen, transform, and renew us toward godliness? And for those in sin and darkness and deadness, lost, separated from you, would you quicken their soul? Would you awaken them to their sin and the glory of a risen Savior who bids sinners to come into this kingdom? So bless this moment. May it not be wasted. May we not trifle with the seriousness of this moment. But would you bring life and build your church through the Scriptures? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our text is Mark chapter 10. We're looking at verses 13 through 16. 13 through 16. And they were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands upon them. So I want us to see three things this morning. Number one, with regards to our children walking in truth, with regards to no greater joy being that our children walk in truth. First, we see from this passage that we must bring them continually. We bring them continually to the Lord. Now, what do I mean by continually? Well, the phrase here, "and they were bringing children to him," has this continuous nature about it. It can be read, "and they were bringing and bringing and bringing and bringing children to him." They kept on bringing children to Jesus. There was a consistent, continuous pattern and practice of bringing these children and their desire to continually be bringing their children unto the Lord. So with regards to no greater joy than our children walking in truth, we bring them continually. We bring them continually. To whom shall we bring them? Who are they bringing them to? They were not bringing them to the temple. They were not bringing them to the synagogue. And it is not merely that we bring our children to church or the worship gathering, as important as that is. That's not who they were bringing their children to. They were bringing their children to Jesus. And so it is with us. It is not enough to simply bring our children to church. It is not enough that every now and then we bring up the Lord Jesus. We must bring continually our children to whom? To Jesus. That's who they were after. They weren't bringing their children to the priest here, were they? They weren't bringing them to the Pharisees. They were not bringing them to the scribes. They were not bringing them to other rabbis per se. They're bringing them to the teacher, the master. They're bringing their children to someone who's calmed the sea, who calms the storm. They're bringing them to someone who cast evil out. They're bringing them to someone that teaches with authority, and the testimony is, no one's ever spoke like this man. They're bringing them to the very Word of God made flesh, Jesus Christ. So when it comes to our children walking in truth, we bring them continually, over and over and over and over again, we bring our children to Jesus. Hear me this morning. It is not enough that we simply show up this morning and present our children unto the Lord and dedicate them this one solemn time. That is not enough. The thought is, yes, we bring our little ones to the Lord. Yes, you participated in that dedication of our little ones unto the Lord, but it doesn't stop in a moment. There's a continuous nature about we must go on bringing our children unto whom? The Lord and the Lord alone. For what shall we bring our children? What were they bringing them for? Well, the text says that he might touch them. That language indicates a blessing. Not just like a high five, handshake, "how you doing, shalom." It was, "we want to bring our children to you so that you would touch and bless them, Lord." That's why they were bringing them. They wanted the blessing and keeping of the Lord. The Lord taught his people in the Old Covenant scriptures. He says, I want you to put my name upon the people, Aaron, so that when the priests pray and when the priests pronounce the blessing on my people, that my name would continually be upon my people. And what is that priestly blessing? You hear me say it all the time to you and upon you, that the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance toward you. And the Lord give you peace. We don't know if Jesus necessarily pronounced that blessing, but we do know that when they were bringing their children continually unto Jesus, they wanted the blessing. I would go a step further and say the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think in that moment that the power and the authority may have been even more than the priestly blessing that God commanded the priest? Because we have the very Son of God who is now the high priest of his bride and his body and all of his people at the right hand of God, always making intercession for us. We've got the high priest of heaven himself pronouncing a blessing on these little ones. Now, it's not just babies indicated in the text. Could be a variety of ages all the way up to 12. The word used there is up to that 12-year-old adolescent age. So it's not just babies and infants they're bringing to the Lord. They're bringing children of all ages unto the Lord. Why? Because they want the Lord's blessing and they want the Lord's keeping. Why do we bring our children continually unto the Lord? Because we know that the Lord alone can grant them salvation. That in our best efforts, on our best days, in our best seasons, we cannot give them a new heart. We cannot bring forth the miracle of the new birth and for them to be born again and to receive new hearts, to be cleansed of their sins, as much as we desire it, as much as we want it, as much as we pray and say, Lord, grant it. There has to be this understanding, if we're going to bring our children continually unto the Lord, that the Lord alone is the one who saves. We have to understand that we are completely inadequate of saving our children. Yes, it's our greatest joy that they would walk in truth, but we in and of ourselves, just by human will, energy, and exertion, we cannot make it happen, which is why we must bring our children continually unto the Lord, because the Lord alone can save. The Lord alone can save. We must bring our children to the Lord continually, because he alone has saving power. They wanted the Lord to bless. They wanted the Lord to touch. We want the Lord to save. We want the Lord to touch their eyes, to touch their hearts, to touch their minds by the power and awakening of the Holy Spirit. We want our children to understand that they are sinners before a holy God, but that God in his great mercy and love has provided a way of salvation and safety and security for them. That in the arms of the Lord Jesus, there is blessing and salvation and security. We want our children to know that. So they're bringing their children continually for what? The Lord's blessing and keeping, his saving work, and that he would pray for them. So it is with us. When we bring our children to Christ, we want the Lord's blessing and keeping. We want his saving power to be extended and that miraculous work done in their heart. And we want the Lord to intercede for our children before the throne of God above. We have a perfect high priest who pleads the case of his beloved. That's what we want when we say we bring our children to the Lord continually. By what means? How do you do that? I mean, because like Jesus isn't here. Just have a preacher. And I'm not a priest. So what's it look like? What are the means that God has given us to bring our children continually unto the Lord? At least three, and this is not exhaustive, but at least three. Number one, through prayer daily. Number two, through family worship regularly. Number three, through corporate worship weekly. So first, through prayer daily. If you want to be about the sincere business of bringing children unto the Lord continually, you must, by prayer, daily bring them unto the bosom of the Father. You have a great responsibility and a great privilege that you can literally, spiritually lift up your kids unto the Lord day after day after day. And He is a good high priest. He's one who receives the prayers of the people. He Himself intercedes for His people. We must be in prayer daily if we are going to bring our children continually. I don't see any other effective, powerful means of grace than a father and a mother and a grandfather and a grandmother and a church family of spiritual fathers and mothers. When we say day after day after day after day, Lord, would You bless and keep our children? Would You save them? Would You bring them up in Your arms and would You bless them? Would You alone do what You alone can do? We must be in prayer daily if we are to bring them continually. Number two, through family worship regularly. If you want your children to walk in truth, it baffles me. It baffles me that if you sincerely want your children to walk in truth, if that is your greatest joy, and you neglect the regular family time of worship, then you are neglecting a great means of grace that the Father has given you. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to know the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. You can be a poor, unlearned man who can still lead the children in family worship. Why? Because you, even though you are a poor man, you can present a feast day after day after day if you'll just open the book. Just open it and read some and let your children hear you pray on their behalf before the Father. Day after day after day. Let your grandchildren hear you pray for them by name day after day after day. So hear me. If you are neglecting the regular family worship, it is not your greatest joy that your children walk in truth. You have other joys. We do what our affections bring us to. And if our greatest joy is to see our children walking in truth, we will say, let's come together and pray. Let's come together and sing. Going to read some scripture tonight. This is what Daddy's going to be preaching on. This is what you talked about in Sunday school today. We cannot neglect this great, great tool and responsibility. Third, through corporate worship weekly. Through corporate worship. Our children need to sense that when we gather together week after week after week after week, that this is a special, sacred gathering. This is a celebration of the redeemed. to say unto our King and Savior, you have saved us. You've bought us. You've bought us with your blood. You've redeemed us. That our children need to sense from us what? That Sunday's the greatest day of the week. They need to sense, hey, we're going to church today. We're going to be with God's people today. We're going to sing the great songs of faith today. We're going to hear the Bible opened and taught and preached today. We get to be with the Lord's people today. They will catch that. And if that's not your pattern, they'll catch that too. They'll catch it. They are impressionable like warm wax, and we must be giving a worthy impression on our kids. What does this imply? It implies that we surrender our children fully. Fully unto the Lord. Not in a moment, on a day. But we are surrendering fully all of our children, all of their life, to all of Christ for all of His glory. We are surrendering fully our children unto the Lord. Why? Because Jesus welcomes them. Doesn't that make sense? We are to surrender our children fully. Why? Because Jesus Himself welcomes the children. He's not going to be like, oh, okay, I don't think so. When you're day after day after day pleading with the Lord for them, when you are surrendering them with all you know how unto all of Christ, the Lord delights in that. The Lord welcomes the children, does He not, in the passage? Yes. Let the children come to me, Jesus says. Hinder them not. Forbid them not. Who were the ones hindering the children from coming to the Lord? It's disciples. Let me tell you, when you take seriously bringing your children unto the Lord continuously, you will have opposition. You will have opposition. It is not easy to raise children. And it's not easy to raise children to walk in the Lord. You will always have opposition when you seek to surrender fully your children unto the Lord. You will always have opposition when you seek to bring them continually unto the Lord, even from believers. Even from believers, you can have opposition when you are desiring to continually bring your children unto the Lord. They'll look at you like you're weird. They will look at you like, oh, he thinks he's better than everybody. That's why. You will have opposition on this great, great task. Were the disciples not believers? Were they hindering? Did they have opposition? Did it stop them? No. Jesus welcomes them, which is why we should surrender them fully. He welcomes the children. What a rebuke we have in verse 14. When Jesus saw what? That the disciples were rebuking those bringing them to Jesus. When Jesus saw it, He was indignant and He said to them, let the children come to me, do not hinder them. Why? For to such belongs the kingdom of God, Jesus said. Now that floored everybody when Jesus said that. The disciples are thinking they're doing the right thing. Jesus is important. You are not. You do not have access. That was the mindset. Children were seen as insignificant, unimportant. Didn't really matter a whole lot. Do you think there were other people there wanting to be ministered to? Yes. Do you think there might have been sick people around that wanted ministering to? Do you think there were plenty of needs that Jesus in that moment could have met with adults? So the disciples are saying, you kids, you're bothering us. Side note, I hope you aren't bothered by crying children this morning. Boy, I hope not. So here's the thing. When it comes to hindering those who would bring them to Jesus, what does Jesus say? He says, whoa, whoa, whoa. You let these children come to me. Don't hinder them. And then he says, he gives the reason. He says, look, the kingdom of God is for these. For such as these, my kingdom is for. Now that threw everybody for a loop. You mean unimportant. Little children, they have access to the kingdom of God. What about all these adults, Jesus? What about all the needs? What about everything going on there? And Jesus says, when it comes to my kingdom, you let the little ones come. Because everyone has to be like a little child if they're going to enter my kingdom, Jesus says. Which brings us to the second point. We receive the kingdom freely. We receive the kingdom freely. They're bringing their little ones. We receive the kingdom freely. Who receives the kingdom freely? Those who are insignificant. Those who are insignificant. Those who are unimportant. And those who are undeserving. Jesus gives the object lesson with the child there when it comes to who can come in this kingdom? Who has rights to enter into the kingdom of God freely? Jesus says, case in point, illustration, here's a child. You got to be like this little child if you're going to enter. What is meant by that? It means that the kind of person that enters the kingdom of God has to be like a little child. Those who are seen as insignificant, those who are unimportant, those who are undeserving, Jesus says, hey, the kingdom's for you. So if you've ever been told in your life that you're unimportant, if you've ever felt that you're insignificant, if you ever felt like you did not deserve the kingdom of God, guess what? It's for you. It's for you, unimportant, insignificant, undeserving person. These children were unimportant. These children were insignificant by the world standards. Jesus says, let them come to me. And if you are feeling unimportant, insignificant, if you know that you're undeserving, the Lord Jesus would say, the kingdom is for you. The kingdom's for you. For such as these, how do we receive this kingdom freely? How? Like a helpless, humble, needy child. That's how. How do you receive the kingdom freely? Like a helpless, humble, needy child. Just coming for a blessing. Helpless, humble, unimportant, undeserving. That's how you come unto the Lord. That's how you enter the kingdom. You do not enter the kingdom of God standing tall. You do not enter the kingdom of God with all your accomplishments. You do not enter the kingdom of God with a religious pedigree, with a fancy resume when it comes to stuff you've done for the Lord in your attendance. That's not how anyone enters the kingdom of God. Jesus says, for such as these, whoever doesn't enter like these little ones, you don't enter. So how do these little ones enter? What is he getting at? It means that we understand that we are helpless. We understand that we are humbled before an almighty God and King. And we understand that we deserve not the kingdom, but that we beg to receive it freely. And for the one who humbles himself, for the one who knows and understands his need of a Savior, the kingdom's for you. The kingdom is for you. We see grace here. We see a gift here. We see the receiving of the kingdom. Not earning it. Not convincing the Lord that you're worthy of it. You receive the kingdom freely, which means he gives it freely. He gives and you receive it. Well, what did I do to deserve a kingdom? Nothing. Nothing. You bring nothing to the table. The Lord Jesus himself has brought everything to the table with his perfect life, suffering in your place, his sacrifice for your sins, his absorbing the wrath and penalty and judgment of God for sinners. And when you see that, when you sense that, when you humble yourself to that, then you can enter the kingdom. You do not enter tall. You do not enter proud. Last point, the Lord gives his blessing willingly, generously, and sincerely. Is Jesus willing to give the blessing in this passage? He goes to great pain to convince them that he really does want to bless them. He rebukes them, commands them to come, commands them to not hinder. And what does Jesus do at the end of the passage? He takes them in his arms, he lays his hands on them, blesses them. The Lord gives his blessing willingly. Willingly. He rebukes the disciples. He takes the children in his arms. He blesses them willingly. Willingly. The Lord gives his blessing generously, right? Generously. Who deserves a kingdom? Who deserves to be in a royal family? Sons and daughters of God. Once we're sinners and lost in condemnation, in the bondage of sin in this world. And then when we understand we need a Savior to free us, that a Savior has died for us, that he has risen to free us, to give us a kingdom that whoever would come in can receive it because he gives it generously, so that sons and daughters orphaned on the things of God, hell-bound sinners, not loving God, can receive a kingdom because the Lord gives it generously and willingly if you'll receive it like a child. The Lord gives his blessing sincerely. What a picture we have at the end. He takes the little ones in his arms and he blesses them. He doesn't say, okay, just line up and I'll just pray real quick. What does he do? He says, he picks them up in his arms and he blesses them. There is a sincerity about our Savior. He willingly gives his blessing and generously and sincerely gives it to them. Gives it to you. What a picture. So regardless of your age today, if you want access, if you want an inheritance in this great kingdom, you must humble yourself like a little child and understand that you bring nothing to the table, that you are unimportant and undeserving, insignificant, but that your Savior died for such as these. He delights to give it freely and willingly. What do we see in this great picture? Taking them in his arms, blessing them. We see this one important truth, that salvation and security and safety are in Christ alone. In Christ alone. That you can have the whole world and be outside of Christ and you forfeit your soul. But in the arms of Christ, in Christ, you have this security that the world can't take away. You have a blood-bought salvation and security in Christ Jesus. So if you are in Christ, there is safety. And there is only safety in the arms of Christ alone. Which brings us to the concluding matter. If you are not in the arms of Christ, if you are outside of Christ in this blessing, if you are outside of this kingdom, it's the most dangerous thing in the world. Perhaps that's why they were so adamant of bringing their little ones for blessing. Because perhaps they, hopefully we, understand that the most dangerous, damning thing in the world is to be outside of Christ. And that the safest, surest place in all the world is in the sincere arms of our King. So as we go this Mother's Day and enjoy meals and share stories, and perhaps some of us think about our mothers who have passed away, take time to think of this. Are you in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because outside of those arms, you perish. And the good news is that He gives it willingly. He gives it generously. He gives it graciously to those who are unimportant and undeserving, but you must receive it like a child. Father, we love You. May in this moment You stir us to sense the great magnitude and weight of belonging to You, entering this kingdom like a child, and may we bring these children continually. And in this moment, would You help us to affectionately sense the securing arms of Christ for those of us who are in You and those outside? Would You humble them that they would come and receive it freely because You have paid it all? It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray these things. Amen.